that is.
Not even once.
Not even
trigger
once.
Warning. Milk.
Trigger
is
treat.
Triggering. This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour. Broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Curry Studios on the corner of Trustview and Mata Vista. We all trigger Lucas Aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative ingredients. Please,
yeah.
On the 3D glasses. Now, we warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it feel it, Michael?
Taxation is theft, and I'll say that now so we can talk about other cool stuff.
That works. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Welcome. Yeah. The reason I say, hey, welcome. It's good to do a show with you. I've decided I really like doing shows with you, and because you're not a communist. I think sooner or later the Freedom Fiends can be like you, me, Jeremy, and Lou, and that's it.
I don't want to do that show.
I'm not going to, all four of us, I'm not going to fire anybody. Just, I think people are going to quit the more I just, you know, want to throw people out of helicopters for being communist.
What I have in common with Jeremy and Lou is I did an all-night show with, well, parts of both of them.
Bert Vernert?
Yeah, me and Bert Vernert lasted the whole night through, and Nick actually lasted awake the whole night through. So,
oh,
there's
yeah.
Something.
That young man that had to do horrible things to join the Fiends with Harvey Weinstein was my manager. Yeah. And Kevin Spacey was my producer. Yeah.
Allegedly. The secret private key touching that you had to do.
The key touching? What is that? Is that a ceremony in like the Owl Island or something?
Basically, every summer when those Bilderbergers want to have a male get together.
Yeah.
You know, then they go to the
which
Bohemian
is actually
Grove.
In House of Cards. There's actually a Bohemian Grove in have you seen that? You've seen all the new
no,
House of Cards,
I didn't
right?
see that. No, I've seen
season.
Some of House of Cards. Whoa.
Yeah, there's one with like, you know, Frank Underwood at Bohemian Grove, like peeing on the foot of some other guy there out in the woods that he doesn't like. Spoiler alert.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I guess you can say that on radio, but now I know.
I guess pee pee kitty? You can say pee pee kitty. It's after midnight. Well, it's actually Halloween on the East Coast, but you know, you're in Hawaii, so it's still, I think, Labor Day there, isn't it? Time difference?
Labor Day? October 30th, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, I labor every day.
What is Labor Day?
I thought September 1st. I guess. I'm stabbing at it. You know. When is Labor Day?
I have a friend in Casper. People may know him, may know his face. If you've seen Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, Lou. And Lou, the other Lou, has a really funny saying that I like. It's advice for caliber of gun for your carry pistol in places where the weather gets cold and people wear really thick clothing, where you might literally need a larger caliber to deal with, to stop an attacker. Because, like, you know, a leather jacket or, like, several layers of stuff will actually slow a bullet down enough that it may not stop them quickly enough. So he says, 9mm before Labor Day, 45 after Labor Day. That should be the title of the show. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
yep.
For everyone out there who thinks that we're into making holes in people, it's selective. I like to be precise
and
use an acupuncture needle and just go in just exactly the depth and level that I want, you know?
Yeah.
I
don't like to confront people. I want people to leave me alone, and I don't want to shoot people. I think a lot of people that carry guns, or some people that carry guns, want to shoot people. They fantasize about the day someone breaks into their house. I think that's kind of sick. Although I think that if you carry a gun, you should run some scenarios in your head of what you do in this and that situation, but I don't think you should go touch yourself in special places after you do.
I think I would advise everyone out there with projectile weaponry, just get some training every year. Keep investing in training, not just into bullets and the maintenance weaponry and such.
And you can start that. You can do that training in the winter without leaving the home if you want. With get an airsoft pistol for $20. You know, the little pellet gun with the where you cock it. It's got a spring and you fire a little plastic pellet. And one of those sticky targets. You can buy the whole set at Walmart for like $22. Like if it's you know, when there's 6 feet of snow out and you really can't get out of town in Wyoming to go out to the range, to go out to the state land that's awesome here. Like, that is an amazing thing about Wyoming is you, there's a place in town here, or outside, 20 miles outside of town, Coal Mountain Road, where you just drive out. It's where he filmed a lot of guns, the gun part of Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. It's, you drive out there, and then there's this tertiary dirt road, and you drive about a mile on it, and then there are, over about the next mile on the left and right, there are probably like 8 or 9 places to shoot guns that are like cooler. Each one of them is cooler than like the coolest gun range in Los Angeles that we drive 40 miles to go pay money to shoot at next to gangbangers and cops. And you're alone. Like, you have your own giant gun range where you can shoot, you know, at a mountain an eighth of a mile away, or at a target in front of it with that as your backdrop, and it's free, and you just go out there and do it. You just clean up afterwards, you know?
Whoa. When it comes to guns, your state is a lot less statist than where I'm living. I'm, you know?
Yeah.
But maybe you look that kind of stuff up, and maybe you understand, you know?
Yeah, when we were filming that movie, we borrowed a friend's 50 cal and shot a TV with it. It's in the movie. Have you seen that movie? Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom? Yeah, you go to Guns and Weed, gunsandweed.com. You can also check out my other gun training film that you can. It's no substitute for in-person training, but it's a good augmentation or introduction. Gun Training for the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1, Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz, which is a DVD I produced, which is actually the highest ratio of profit I've ever made on a movie. It's not making money anymore, but it made, you know, three grand or something, and I made it for like $80, I think, for ammo and gas for my friend to drive down and be in it. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Now it'd be you know, a lead magnet to add to your sales funnel.
Well, I mean, if that was a Hollywood movie, that'd be a blockbuster. You know, a movie that they spend $200 million making and it makes, you know, $1 billion. That's like the most successful movie ever.
That's true. Like, you know,
it's no Blair Witch Project, which cost $60,000 to make, and they made like $350 million on it, I think.
I wonder what Clerks made, because that movie was produced pretty low. You know.
Yeah. Although it was, I think the budget might have been higher than Blair Witch Project.
No, it had
a budget. It's all shot on film. Blair Witch Project is shot half on film and half on like analog digital, like high eight, like a total consumer camera from the time that even is crappy, was crappy then, let alone now. The color stuff in that is high eight digital. Like, you know, they went to Walmart and bought, or Walgreens, I think, bought a camera for $200. And then the film camera in it, I think they borrowed from one of the universities one of them was going to, 16mm camera, and the DAT recorder. Yeah.
I still haven't seen that one, but I'm still wondering how
Blair
that
Witch?
Ties to... Yeah.
You wonder how it ties to what?
How everyone is socialist.
Self-defense?
That was...
Oh, yeah, they are. Well, I don't usually bother to pimp the Freedom Fiends like Lou does. Lou works hard. I'm lazy and I'm busy making music. Did you hear my new song? My new Biptunia song?
I didn't go there yet. I will.
Yeah. DJ, you talking, that's like, baby? Okay.
No, that's good radio.
Yeah, it is. It's just showing you that we're real people, you know, in our homes. Hey, baby, how are the cats? Okay, cool. Love you. Good night. Yeah, so I said, tonight on the Freedom Fiends, Daryl Becker and Michael Dean tell you why you're all a bunch of socialists, which is actually something that noted libertarian economist, who did I say it was? Not Mises.
Friedrich von Hayek.
Yes, Hayek screamed, interrupting everyone in a room at some economics conference in the 60s or 50s. I like it. I like screaming that at people. You're all a bunch of socialists. Most people are.
I think that's what the plan was, is to merge the United States and the Soviet Union, as according to the Council on Foreign Relations. If you like to get into that stuff that some people call alternative research. Allegedly.
I mean, if you want to get into like the Kennedy papers that were just dropped, you know, in the middle of 2,000 pages somewhere, it basically says that there were two shooters, by the way.
Two shooters.
Yep.
No, I didn't. Like, so who's the other shooter? They're just saying shooter
X. They have no idea. Then... They have no idea because it's there was no magic bullet. So basically, the you know that the term conspiracy theory was made up in the Warren Commission report to discredit people who had any alternate theories than what the government said, right?
Right, there's even a white paper describing its implementation, like as like advocating for all newspapers to use that term for anyone who brings up these theories.
And there's actually a more modern white paper written by who's the guy that wrote Nudge, the libertarian paternalism BS. The guy that worked for the guy that would probably be the new Supreme Court judge if Hillary had won. You know, I don't like Hillary or Trump, but I got to say the only thing that's better about Trump having won is he put in a decent Supreme Court judge who's, you know, young at 50, so he's probably going to be there for another 30 years, who's decent on most things. Yeah.
I was trying to look that thing up. Nudge, the new libertarian something.
Libertarian paternalism. Search that. It's some guy that was like the czar of everything under like the last three presidents until a little while before the last election.
Cass.
Yeah, Cass Sunstein. Horrible guy. Basically, he wrote a white paper about conspiracy theories about 5 years ago that basically said, well, people, the internet's horrible and we can't really stop it and people have opinions. So basically the government needs to hire people to have the job of, you know, 50, 100 people sitting in a boiler room in D.C. somewhere offering the correct opinion in argument. Like basically hire paid sock puppets for the government. He said that in a white paper that was public. And I think that's happening. I feel like that on Facebook sometimes. Like I just get these people who somehow Facebook says should be friends with me, and then they just, they argue with me and have different opinions. No, they're basically like, the way they argue, it seems like they're all reading from a script, like a telemarketer, you know?
Right.
They're just trying to waste your time and make you mad and waste your time. Yeah.
I just saw someone named Frank Sockenstein.
Worms. Here we go.
Worms.
Frank Sockenstein? Yeah, who is that?
And find out.
Which of our
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hi, this is Mark Edge of Free Talk Live. Michael W. Dean's book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, changed my life. In a culture that attempts to turn you into a compliant victim, this book gives you implementable steps on everything from how to be aware of your environment walking down the street to business, to how to handle a toxic person in your life. If you're a human, you need to read this book at least once. Go to Amazon and get the Kindle version, or paperback, or an audiobook of A User's Manual for the Human Experience.
Take my Fed coin, please. I'm Bob the Cat. There's a cat on my desk. It's awesome.
I found out it was required to have cats to be a co-host on the show.
Lou doesn't have any cats.
Lou's but that's not all. Something. Yeah, you know, actually, it's not totally required. It's
Lou's thinking of getting a black cat. Speaking of which, you like that segue? It's Halloween.
It is.
On the East Coast now, and it will be here in about 40 minutes. So, you ever see The Exorcist?
Just parts of it, the scary parts.
So, the whole thing, except the first 2 minutes, yeah. My black cat, our black cat, Beast, will be 2 years old today. He was born on Halloween. I don't know that he's born on Halloween, but we got him a year and 3 months ago. And when we got him, they said he was 9 months old at the shelter, which would have put his, from when we got him, it would have put his birthday at, you know, a week either way of Halloween. So we could remember it. Since he's a black cat, we decided his birthday is Halloween. Yeah. But
what do you want to say about Halloween? What's the significance to you, Michael?
Well, in theory, it's my favorite holiday, although we don't celebrate it. We basically draw the curtains, turn out the lights, and don't answer the door. But after a few years, like 8 years of doing that, people don't knock on our door anymore. And really, there's only two or three. We only see two or three you know, kids with their groups of kids with their parents trick-or-treating on our block the whole night anyway, because we live on a street that's not a through street. It's mostly, you know, we're in our 50s and we're some of the youngest people on the block. There's not a lot of kids around. And there's a church, you know, a few blocks away in one direction, and a school a few blocks away in another direction. They have big, you know, safe Halloween celebration, like bring your kids here instead of going out in the world where it's scary, which is weird. Because in Wyoming, I would just think everyone would open carry and take their kids door to door. But yeah, so they don't do that anymore. I mean, kids don't really go door to door like they did when we were kids, do they? Don't they all go to those shindig things or not celebrate it either because their parents are liberals, in which case they think, you know, oh, it's cultural appropriation to wear a costume.
It's all, I guess, depends on where you are. Out here on this island?
Hawaii, yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely usually a parent with kids going around. Depends on, you know, what, and then of course older kids also all going around. I'm thinking these little towns, these little, like, city of Hilo, we're talking 45,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, this is going on all over. You know, they still are walking around with costumes and bags and candy. You know, it's still happening.
Huh. And well, you know, I mean, islands are isolated. There's like islands that are the only place you can find a species on the earth too, so.
Yeah, there's definitely some weird species over here.
Yeah, of people
would shock
creatures. Yeah,
it would not shock you. It would be like, yep, I figured that's where you saw lots of hippies in Portland, Oregon.
Yep.
Well, a bunch of them literally created a whole town over here. So
there's a toad that only exists in like 4 square miles in Wyoming. It's called the Wyoming toad. Google it, people. Google it, people. Oh. I have the documents. Google it. Yeah, so let's see. So if you're, and then like right wingers don't usually like Halloween because, you know, Satan.
That's,
do you know,
true.
What a hell house is? You ever been to a hell house?
I don't even know what that means.
It's what some churches do on Halloween, who, you know, like really evangelical churches that really think that, you know, Halloween is a Satan. Now, talk about cultural appropriation. Halloween is culturally appropriating the Celtic Samhain pagan holiday, so there.
Yeah, and so if we're going to speak
racist
in,
against my Irish background, if you're celebrating Halloween,
if you look up that holiday, which is spelled Samhain, and you go to Wikipedia, you'll see that it's pronounced Samhain.
Yeah, I know.
Samhain. Yeah, but
well,
you know that.
Yeah, but the band is pronounced Samhain. My friend used to play drums with them. My friend London May.
Yeah,
you I ever think heard it's Samhain. They're evil. They're great.
No. Is it like Gwar or better?
No, it's Glenn Danzig's band after the Misfits. They're really good.
Oh.
Yeah. Google the song Mother by Samhain. It's great. That's one of his bands. I don't know.
I'm glad we didn't have to talk about social justice warriors.
Oh, we'll get there. You're all a bunch of social justice warriors. Yeah. So let's see. Halloween, I don't celebrate it, but in theory, it's my favorite holiday. You know, a lot of shelters won't let you get a black cat around Halloween because people get him and do bad things to him. People are horrible. I would literally probably shoot someone who tried to hurt my cat if it were legal. Allegedly. Don't try this at home. There's black cat asleep on my piano bench. Worms!
Worms.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
We're comparing the prisons of the world.
Yeah.
Where you want to be if you have
to be in prison. I'm in prison in Wyoming where, you know, you can walk into a store and buy an AK-47 on the spot, walk out, buy ammo, walk out, load it. 30-round mag, put it on the seat in your car and drive around with it. I do that. Well, I don't keep buying them all the time, but I do like to drive around with a rifle, mini battle rifle, intermediate cartridge battle rifle. It's not a battle rifle. Well, sort of.
See, that's freedom.
30 cal. It is.
That's
but
that's serious.
An ounce of weed is a felony here. So I don't smoke weed though, so I, you know, we moved to the place where you got the gun freedom. It's
and
weird
I moved
thing,
from freedom. The gun freedom to the no gun freedom.
Yeah, the gun freedom is so bad in Hawaii that the only thing that it's known for guns is people in Japan travel to Hawaii so they can shoot a 22 in a range. Do you know that?
Yeah, that's true.
Gun tourism from Japan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when people say California has the most draconian gun laws in America, nope. Hawaii's worse. Maryland's worse, too. Hawaii's worse.
It is its thing. There's no concealed carry that has been issued, I think, in a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
Time.
It's one of the, like, four states where there's no permits. I mean, California, you could technically get it. There are people with concealed carry permits in San Francisco and Los Angeles. There's, like, 10 in San Francisco. And there's, you know, a couple hundred in Los Angeles. They're all movie stars, diamond dealers, or judges. You have to have a reason, and you have to have connections there. But Wyoming, you don't need a permit. In Wyoming, you can walk into a store, buy a gun on the spot, buy ammo, go out in your car, load it, and stick it in your pocket, or carry it on your hip without a permit. Although, you should, probably buy a holster, too. Yeah, that's funny. I've heard someone say, too, like, about the differences of freedoms in states, you know, like... People say like New Hampshire is the most free state or Wyoming is the most free state. But, you know, it depends what you care about. If all you want to do is carry guns and gay marry, Vermont is your place.
That's pretty much it, yeah. And well, also, if you want to have some stellar real estate tax and deal with that, because I was a homeowner there.
Oh, high?
You can go there for that, too.
High as the stars?
Yes, like reaching the stars, you know.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Well, New Hampshire has taxes your view. That's a new thing they have there now. Like if, you know, they base your property tax not just on the price of your property. If you have a stellar view, they actually factor that in above the market price. Can you believe that? They're charging for what you can see. That's like one step below like, you know, the Beatles line, they'll tax the air you breathe.
See, this is exactly why I go for anything that's going to get rid of these governments. Anything that's going to get rid of them, I am in favor of. As long as, of course, it preserves the abundance of awesome people like Michael. Because, you know, I got to start with that. You know, that's kind of my focus.
Michael is your focus? That's good. I should be.
Yeah.
I should be more people's focus. More people should spend more time trying to anticipate my needs. That's the key to a happy society. It's people try to anticipate my needs and adapt to them.
And so many people anticipating that they're actually trying to replicate this show. Like, didn't you find like some lookalike Freedom Fiends shows? Or
did I?
No.
No.
No,
I think it'd be really funny if like at Pork, like somebody transcribed a Fiends episode and then performed it as a stage play. Like just, you know, had a table with two chairs pretending like they're in the same room, you know, or maybe not. Like two tables and chairs on opposite sides of the stage with their backs to each other, with a microphone on the stage, doing a Fiend show. That'd be great.
I just want to see that.
The guy playing me could get up and, like, you know, pee a lot and pet cats and yell in the other room to the wife.
Ooh, I want to be played by Jeffrey Tucker.
Yeah. So. There's somebody, that guy Clayton Hunt is going to play James Weeks in the Freedom Fiends movie I make.
Whoa, you're making a movie for Freedom Fiends. That's newsflash.
I've been planning one for a while, and it probably will have some people playing some ex-fiends in it. I think we could do this with CGI or with green screen now and not have to actually pay the money to travel all to the same place. If I could just get all the fiends to set up a green screen and maybe just mail a good video camera around and tell people how to use it. So my idea is... a two-hour movie where it's just all the Freedom Fiends, past and present, in line at the DMV complaining about the government.
I like that, especially when you have one of the Freedom Fiends who's generally Scottish and normally doesn't have to stand in line at the DMV.
It's like, sure they have.
Don't
one
even
there.
Know I'm here. You know.
You know, we can get a Freedom Fiends who's like from Eritrea or some failed state where they don't have licensure. Some libertarian paradise. You know, when people say move to Somalia, Somalia actually has more government than Eritrea. People should be saying, if you don't like government, move to Eritrea. Most people don't know what it is and can't pronounce it, but it's next door to Somalia, and it was, you know, a communist state owned by fascist Italy, like Somalia. Most people don't know that. The reason Somalia sucks is because of fascism, not because of lack of government. Yeah.
Isn't Roger Ver trying to make a type of government-free kind of place? Is that real?
Yeah, he does want to do that, and I think he's got a better chance than anybody, especially those losers who tried to do it. Who was it? Jeff Berwick, the alleged millionaire who ripped me off for $200, allegedly. Don't try this at home. For money he owed me for work I did for him. That he agreed to pay me to do, and then when I said, okay, it's time to pay me, and he's like, you did a great job with helping me out with this video and audio stuff, and it vastly improved him, and then he was like, I was like, all right, you want to pay me now? It'll be $600, like, you know, for the hours we agreed. And he's like, oh, I thought you were doing this out of the goodness of your heart. And I sent him the emails where he agreed. And he's like, I don't remember that. I misunderstood what you're saying, but I'll pay you 2/3 of it. How's that? You know, if you didn't contract to do it, you don't pay the person anything. You maintain your steadfastness that you didn't do it.
What is this pattern of certain, I would say, notorious libertarians who are caught on paper, you know, like on digital writing, actually making in agreements and breaking them? What is the deal with that?
I don't know, but I'll tell you someone who's not like that. It's Virgil Vaduva. That guy is solid, and people should use his app, Cell411. Do you know about Cell411? Do you know about... Here, I'm trying to live read. I'm trying to make this sound organic, like the Freedom Fiends.
Yes, Michael. Me and my girlfriend both use it. Right over here.
What is Cell411?
But wait, what is Cell411?
You know what? It's funny. Like, I love Free Talk Live, but when they, like, segue into, like, you know, I love colloidal uranium enemies, don't you, Mark? Yes, Ian. I love colloidal uranium enemies. They help keep away the New World Order. Or, like, you know, even worse is the bad say. I love those guys. I love that show. I understand they got to keep the lights on. There's expenses. But, yeah. So it's I just hate that in radio. It's not about them. I hate, you know what's even funnier is really bad segues. Whoa, you just buffered. What? What's that?
Yeah. What's that, I was boy? Just saying, what do you really like about Cell411? Because,
well, let me tell you what I hate about talk radio again first, and then I'll tell you for like a segment what I love about Cell411. So the thing I really hate and make fun of a lot is bad segues, like Hannity. Do you ever listen to him? You probably have no reason to listen to him.
I can't.
Yeah, I used to listen to him.
Can't. I can't justify the time.
I know. I used to listen to him just to try to figure out, like, how real talk radio works. He does segues like, and these Muslims, these Middle Easterners, we should bomb the Middle East back to the Stone Age. And you know what's Stone Age? Having hard water. So use Billy Bob's hard water filters in your home. Yeah, like that kind of segue. I like it.
That's fisted.
What's that? Man, you're buffering hard, man. Are you tripping? Is your brain spinning down a hole? I can feel it.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, all right. I'll fix this in the next break. I know what to do. So, what was your question, son? Oh, yeah, Cell411. It's great. It's and I really do love it, and I really do use it. So Cell411 is an app that's free from getcell411.com or on the App Store or on the Apple Store. And it basically replaces the government. I'll just start with that. And it's also, what it does is it allows you to set up a cell, you know, a group of friends or even just one friend. Or you can start public cells, like the cell for, you know, anybody within 5 miles of me, who basically people agree to come help each other if there's a problem. So there's a little wheel on it, and it's got various emergencies that you could tap. You just press a button on it, and you can actually get, it's free, but you can get for like $30, I think, you can get a panic button that totally replaces the, I've fallen and I can't get up, which is like hundreds of dollars a year. So, and this is just like a Bluetooth thing that you wear as a wrist thing or around your neck, and it connects to your phone via Bluetooth. But you don't have to do that. You can just have the app, and you touch it and send an alert. And like, you know, the alert can be general alert. I'm being pulled over by police. I'm being bullied. There's a fire. There's a crime in progress, whatever. And it sends an alert to people in your cell of what type of alert it is. And then it gives them turn by turn GPS directions to get to your exact spot as quick as possible. And you can film video with it. And send it and stream it to your friends while they're driving to you so they can look at it while they're driving, I guess. No, so their passenger can look at it while they're driving. And the video is saved on the cell 411 servers for a couple weeks or a week or something. I got to look that up. But so, like, let's say the cops or Antifa take your phone and break it because they don't like being filmed. The footage up to where that happens is saved. Like, you don't have to have your phone. Yeah.
We used to have to do this with multiple different apps.
Different devices. I mean, the book You and the Police by Boston Tea Party, which came out like 15 years ago, which is what Cop Lock is based on, is that book. Like, his advice is keep a portable video camera on the passenger seat in your car when you drive. Like, wow, that was hardcore back. You know, there's actually an episode of Dragnet. Do you remember that show?
Yeah.
What was the one after that? There was another cop show. There was a spin. What? Adam 12. You ever see that?
Yeah.
You know, it was basically a bunch of LAPD being nice guys. It was propaganda back in the day.
Yeah. It was trying to give the friendly police like a tune-up instead of the gangsters that's going on. Yeah.
But it was made in conjunction with the LAPD. Like, they were partners in making that, so it made them look really good. And they had really, like, lovable, officer-friendly, kind of help-you cops instead of the ones that actually beat you to death in L.A. Yeah.
Barney Fife.
We'll be back to talk about my favorite. No, Barney Fife is just inept. He's not dangerous. He's dangerous because he's inept. He's a nice guy.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
I love the Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
Same guy.
Yeah, I like that.
Worms.
Yeah, no. It's about a kid. It's him. He's a filmmaker. He's like 9. Home Movies, it's called. And like every comedian I like did voices on it, including who was the white guy? It sounded like a stoner black guy from the 70s, like a pimp. Guy died of heroin.
Wow, that's tricky.
Comedians who die of heroin. Let me find that Wikipedia page and I'll tell you.
Yeah, that's a. Do you want the short list or the long list?
Mitch Hedberg. Mind is he comes up first. It's Mitch Hedberg. Yeah, he does a lot of voices in there. He's like, yeah, man, I gotta see it.
He was good on that.
He was great. I loved him. You know, there's a really, really funny thing by, who's that other comedian, the one that hates the government, that really does?
George Carlin?
No, the one that's alive and current and popular. People are screaming their name at his radio, at their radio. Anyway, yeah. That guy has a thing about Mitch Hedberg. He's like, he was a really good friend of Mitch Hedberg's. And he's like, you know, I think all drugs should be legal. And a lot of my friends say, yeah, drugs should be legal. War on drugs is horrible. Except heroin. It killed Mitch Hedberg. He's basically talking about being consistent. Like, nope. You have to still be against the drug war, even if it killed Mitch Hedberg, as great as he was.
Yeah. I think it's Doug Stanhope.
It's Jeff.
He's alive.
No. Doug Stanhope, no, no. That's who says it. Yeah. Doug Stanhope's great. He's, you know, a lot of comedians are kind of like half libertarian, and then they're like, there's a shooting, and they're like, we need to ban gay. Yeah. No, that
Doug
guy
says good things about Doug, marriage, for example, you know?
Yeah. Even though I'm married, I like what he says about marriage, but yeah, he says, yeah, marriage, you know, when you're in love and you want to, and then you say, baby, you know what would make this better? Let's involve lawyers and courts and judges.
We got to get them in on this stuff, you know? We got to get everyone in on this stuff. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. He, have you heard his bit about killing his mother?
No.
Yeah, he helped his mother, who had cancer, commit suicide.
Oh, and for real? That's not a bit.
Real.
This is like
for real. And he talks about it. You know, and like, you know, they went to a doctor who, like, you know, said, all right, here's 50 morphine pills. You only need to take 10 of these. But, you know, if you want to take a couple before then to have a good time, have them. And he's like, and my mom took all 50. I mean, she didn't have any money. She didn't leave me anything. She could have at least left me a few morphine pills. It's some of the darkest, funniest comedy I've ever heard. It's very compassionate and loving. And, you know, she was suffering. And it's, the really funny thing is he's like, he did it, you know, he planned to do it for this comedy special. And he's like, he's looking at his watch and he's like, okay, it's midnight. All right. My lawyer says, as of now, I can legally tell this story and the statute of limitations doesn't apply.
That is amazing. Wow.
Yeah, he had to wait like 7 years after it happened or something. So anyway... Wow. Adam 12, this TV show about cops, good cops, when I was a kid. There was one in there, and this is made in like from like 1967 to 74 or something like that. I know the first ones were in black and white, and then they went color. That was Dragnet. But it was like the same producer of Dragnet. So it was there was a scene in there where there was a guy who like had a 16-millimeter film camera, and he was following the cops around and jumping out and filming them in, like, you know, 1968 or 69, when like it cost a lot of money to run a camera like that and film it. Now you just turn your video on, your phone on, and leave it, and it doesn't cost anything, and you can use whatever, you know. And think about, like, when you're filming someone constantly, you know, you're not going to, not much of it's going to be the money shot of them beating up the Negro or the hippie. The Negro or the hippie. Or the jazz man back in the 60s.
I think it's colored people now.
Oh, in the 60s it was colored. Now? Man, you really are isolated over there. It's funny. Do you do this show by, like, recording it and then putting it on a USB drive and then mailing it to me and just anticipating what I'm going to say?
I'm trying to. I send the USB drive on a drone across the ocean slowly.
By pigeon.
You know? Yes.
Yeah.
So they actually did that.
Yeah. And like, you know, they were filming the police, and the police were like, well, you have every right, but they always quoted the Constitution and violated it. Like, yeah, you have every right to do that, but we're going to shut you down. Yeah. But the other thing, real quick, while we're going out, the funniest thing on there was how they depicted hippies. There's a scene in there where they get a call of, like, shots fired, and they go to this house, and there's two hippies on the back porch, on a porch swing, sniffing glue and shooting a box of dynamite with a rifle. I guess that's what hippies did. Is that awesome?
That makes sense.
Without the police, hippies would sit on porch swings, sniff glue, and shoot dynamite with a rifle. It's like a high-powered, like a deer rifle, scoped rifle. And they're swinging.
Keep this in mind.
And they tied the dynamite up in the tree. Yeah.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is Michael W. Dean's novel from the year 2000. It's entirely fiction.
Allegedly.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is a glorious story about a low-rent, post-punk rock star, Cash Newman. Cash Newman is entirely made up.
Not a guarantee.
And is not based on any particular person.
Not a guarantee.
Cash Newman has lots of fun with strange ladies and with the party favors.
Don't try this at home.
And he hangs out with people who commit 3 felonies a page.
But that's none of my business.
It's all in good fun. And at the same time, it's kind of deep, but always spunky. Michael recently updated the book to a much better version. He released it as a paperback, and for the first time, on Kindle. As with this and all Freedom Fiends-related things, please rate and review. And of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license. Get Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women now on Amazon or at michaelwdean.com.
For entertainment purposes only.
That dynamite, that's what hippies do. Apparently.
Apparently, allegedly, this is your trigger warning, and this is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through
Trigger Treat,
the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, the artificial satellite, LibPar 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please insert the blue wire, not the purple one, into your cortex now. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Or go to Viptunia.com and hear my new music. It's really cool.
Yeah. Please, I got, support.
Did you get the buttons and stickers I sent you guys?
You know, postage necessary, still at the post office, so I'm going to pick
postage
it up.
Necessary?
That's what it said.
Oh, yeah. No.
I have to pay like $2.07 to get this from you.
Are you serious?
I am.
Yeah. Don't pay it.
Don't pay it?
Don't pay it. It's not worth it. It's like $1's worth of buttons. That's insane. What? That's... Man, I did something wrong. I hope that, like, you know, the 50 I sent out to everybody aren't having that problem, too. But I sent most people... 2 stickers and 1 button. I sent you double that for you and your lady friend. But no, that's like island. That's island robbery. Island highway. That's insane.
You should look at the price of shipping a vehicle here.
No.
You know.
I could just 3D print it.
Yeah, working on it.
Sand and conch slime. All right. So, Kevin Spacey or Halloween? I guess we'll do Halloween. Maybe. So, The Exorcist. We're talking about The Exorcist because people watch that on Halloween, I guess, and it's a good thing. So, the movie The Exorcist, you've only seen the scary parts. I think it's been remade, but I have some weird, like, tertiary connections to it. First of all, it stars Ellen Burstyn as the mother back when she was kind of hot. And she's in my Selby movie because she was in. She was also the mother. She always plays the mother of troubled people. She was the mother in Requiem for a Dream. And so, you know, because Hubert Selby Jr. wrote the novel that's based on. And he's a writer that's so respected that the two of the main films made of his books, Requiem for a Dream and Last Exit to Brooklyn, the directors were so... you know, into him that they paid to have him on set as a consultant, but really it was mostly just to get to hang out with Hubert Selby Jr. because he was so cool. And that's really rare. Like usually, you know, somebody writes the book and somebody buys the rights and some other screenwriter adapts it. And, you know, the director doesn't want any input from the book author because those people have opinions. But yeah, Selby people like.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what Hemingway said? He had some of his books made into movies, and he said that when dealing with Hollywood, you should drive up to the Los Angeles city limit, throw your book across, and then get in your car and drive in the opposite direction as fast as possible. What if people actually did that? What if there's a place on the edge of LA where there's a big pile of books?
I don't take advice from that guy. You know why?
Because he killed himself.
That's exactly the reason why.
I don't care. Very, he liked cats, man.
That's true. Cats. He did like cats.
He liked polydactyl cats. And you can actually go visit like the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren of his polydactyl cats that are also polydactyl at his house in Florida Keys.
As we covered in the Freedom Fiends episode 4839, I just made that number up, by the way.
I know. We're nowhere near that. We're a quarter of that. But what?
Wow.
No. I don't know, man. I don't Halloween? Feel like if someone kills himself, it invalidates everything they did, because mental illness is a real thing. I don't suffer from it, but I've seen people that suffer. I don't. There's people going, what? Yeah, you do. No, I'm cranky, but I'm not, you know, crazy. And
I don't dismiss all of his advice just because of that. I dismiss that specific advice because it's stupid. So, you know,
I don't think if I read a book it. And he didn't advise. Oh, yeah, that the book advice. It was just his poetic, you know, way of saying,
license.
Saying have as little to do with the people that make the movie from your book as possible, which is probably good advice, unless you're Hubert Selby Jr. and then they like treat you like a king, which they should.
Screenwriters and book writers, different kind of writers usually. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, the screenwriter of Last Exit to Brooklyn, I interviewed him too, Desmond Nakano. He's a weird, cool dude. He's a Japanese-American fella who lived in the weirdest house I've ever seen. Like, he lived in a mansion in where's it? Laurel Canyon. Laurel Canyon, where all the weirdos live. You
Laurel
know?
Canyon. Whoa.
There's a book about Laurel Canyon and how like the CIA bred rock stars there. Go find it. Google it, people.
Oh, we've got it right here. Weird scenes in the canyon.
That's it. Have you read that?
Uh-huh. By Dave McGee. It's right here.
Oh,
on the
you
shelf.
Got the book right here. Yeah, I love that book. Yeah. I love that kind of pulp fiction crap.
Dave McGowan is the author, so you guys out there listening, you can go ahead and look it up. And, yeah, why not support Dave McGowan's efforts? By the way, he did die.
I tried to get him on The Fiends before he died as a guest. I rarely do interviews, but, you know, in like 1,200 episodes, I've done about 10 interviews. But I wanted to interview him after reading that book because it was so wacky and it seemed
is it
plausible.
Coincidence?
Some of it
that he died?
No. He was killed and I have the documents.
That makes sense.
I'm waving a sheath of papers at the microphone. If you can't see, you don't have the video feed that doesn't exist. But
I have the names of all the former feeds.
Desmond Nakano had this mansion that was empty. It was like completely empty except a couple chairs and a couple framed Bastiat paintings on the wall, which is a pretty cool thing to have. You know who Bastiat is, right?
Yeah, this is some pretty splattered type artwork, kind of part of the CIA mind control of infiltrating the art world.
Yeah, because he worked on that movie. I think he might have written the screenplay for that too. But he also wrote the screenplay. He also talks in that documentary, in my interview with him, about how this is a recurring theme about people that had read Hubert Selby's work were afraid to meet him because it's so horrific. And then they meet him, and he's like the sweetest guy in the world, and it's so weird. And I met him and interviewed him, and it was so weird, man. I think I caught like lung ailments from him because I'm kidding, but I was healthy then. And like he was on oxygen, and then he died, and 10 years later, like I'm on oxygen. But it's basically because, well, with me it's because I smoked. With him it's because he had tuberculosis and then smoked. He smoked. He was so hardcore, I kind of look up to this. Is like bad advice, kids, but he had more than one lung removed back when, like, you know, the treatment for TB was just take out lungs. He had like one lung and then a lobe on another lung removed when he was like 19 or 20. And then he smoked cigarettes until he was like 40, man, or 50. Yeah. And shot heroin until he was 40 and he got sober and then lived till 75 somehow. So watch that documentary, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow. You know, if you need a literary hero that suffered like Jesus and walked among us, and I met him and filmed him, and then filmed everyone that he worked with. Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Is there a way to connect this to the Kevin Spacey thing, or is that too ham-fisted?
Oh, Hollywood, no. Speaking of Hollywood, how about that Kevin Spacey? No, here's the thing, man. I still like Kevin Spacey, and I can't wait for... I do not condone or encourage child rape, but you know what? I don't know that he raped anybody. Some male actor, so he gets accused of rape, and the same day, like, is outed as gay, or outed himself as gay. And then GLAAD, G-L-A-D-D, the like, gay mafia... like yelled at him for coming out as a diversion. They said it's like kind of he didn't do it as a diversion. Some man said that man tried to diddle me, so I guess he was outed. But and here's the thing: I saw Kevin Spacey at a coffee shop in West Hollywood when I was working on that Selby movie. He came into a coffee shop where I was hanging out with was it the director or some girl that was working on it? Somebody. I was having a meeting in West Hollywood where Selby lived. And Kevin Spacey came in to pick up like a sandwich and lunch and stuff that he'd ordered. And he was with a boy who was probably 18 or 19 and really cute, and they looked really friendly. I mean, I thought Kevin Spacey was gay before that, and I don't have a problem with it, of course, but it's not a surprise to me. People are shocked. You know, Kevin Spacey is in a movie that I'd like to get whoever directed it to direct my screenplay for the Freedom Fiends at the DMV movie, because it's a movie that would be like a play. Like, you can tell a movie when it's adapted from a play, when it's like takes place in one location and there's no props, basically. It's just a table and people talking. There's a movie called The Big Kahuna with Kevin Spacey. Have you seen it?
I've seen the trailer for it. That's
it. It's great. It mainly takes place in one hotel room with three people talking.
Yeah. I mean, did you see the Family Guy joke about, Kevin Spacey? Because that was done, like, literally years ago.
No, it's like buffering.
Turned down buffering your pretty hard.
You turned down the hamster in your brain. Okay, go ahead. Increase your increase your Freedom Fiends buffer. The
61 milliseconds to...
But then also the... I don't know which one to increase. Increase something. Anyway, so increase them all. Increase them all a little bit, all three of them. So anyway, Kevin Spacey. No, what was the joke a year ago about him, Family Guy?
I'm gonna actually grab the clip and then play it, since it's all PG. I know that.
Well, can you play clips? How are you going to do it?
How am I going to do it? I'm going to play it quietly for myself, laugh, and say, oh, that was really bad radio. You didn't get to hear that.
Yeah, if you just play it, though, your feed phone's not going to pick it up. That's not how it works. It has to be on a different device, either plugged in with a... Anyway, so Kevin Spacey, just tell me the joke.
No, I can't. I'm gonna grab it. You go into your story, because you actually met the guy.
Why don't you do it during the break, and then you can tell it accurately without this. Without this.
Actually, hold on a second. Everyone listening, me and Michael are going to plan out what we're going to do during this segment, and then we'll just goof off during the other part. Okay? There we go. Now back to you, Michael.
You know, someone asked me today if I'd heard of the Church of the Subgenius, and I told her, like, I used to be so obsessed with that, and have you heard their radio show? It influences my radio show, but more so, it influences my music. And if you know anything about the Church of the Subgenius... Except all of my audio has better production and more care than the radio show. All right, we'll be back after this trip to the coffee shop where Kevin Spacey hangs out.
Worms.
Worms. That sounds scary.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Biptunia, music for the drive to Alpha Centauri. Biptunia's influences are Gary Numan, Brian Eno, Pink Floyd, David Bowie, Led Zeppelin, Grateful Dead, Frank Zappa, Robert Fripp, Blondie, Kraftwerk, and Dead Kennedys. Biptunia's styles are trip-hop, rock, pop, glam, industrial, ambient, jazz, and space. Plus, it's got cats and is covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license. You can download Biptunia's music free. Go to biptunia.com. That's B-I-P-T-U-N-I-A. Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, Uniform, November, India, Alpha. Biptunia.com.
Once you're a fiend, you're too busy. Oh, hello there. I didn't see you, audience.
Welcome. Freedom Fiends are back.
The village people were racist as F. You know, there was one straight guy in the village people. It was the black guy who played the cop after the first guy that played the cop left. And that guy lived in my neighborhood in San Francisco around... Hayes and Divisadero. When I lived there, I used to see him around. Everyone's like, oh, that's the guy from the Village People. That's good. And he was a crackhead who used to like get horrors and buy crack and do it with him. And he died of a heart attack at like 51 or something. And that's what you get for playing a cop. Okay, so Kevin Spacey. So We don't know if he did anything. Some guy accused him of doing something a long time ago, and Kevin Spacey probably honestly said, I don't remember. I was drinking a lot back then. If I did it, I'm very sorry. What a great answer for, you know, something horrible you may have done. He probably doesn't remember, which probably means maybe he did. I don't know. I'm not going to say anything bad about him. I'm not going to jump on this train of male bashing that apparently you don't have to be a hetero male for Hollywood to. You just have to be male. You know, I told Virgil Vaduva that he should do a bounty of, you know, some number of bitcoins for someone that can offer proof of some woman, name brand woman in Hollywood, sexually harassing or abusing some male or female.
Oh, that's, isn't that Kelly Ripa? Or I just made that up. So
well, someone said today it was that Roseanne recently got accused of something.
I mean, I think that it's possible that the whole Eyes Wide Shut thing, just like you saw that movie, right, Michael?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so you understand. That's
a Hollywood party. Yeah.
That's exactly what is sort of going on, except for, you know, more death and mayhem and women, more snuff.
Yeah, more death and mayhem, and, you know, the women are half the age, and it's on a private island with a private army guarding it.
Right, like that. Very so no Richard Branson kind of thing, you know.
Oh, come on, Richard Branson. So anyway, Richard Branson, I like. He has a private island, okay. But I don't know, man. He's still married to the same woman he was married to a long time ago, and she's kind of plump and luscious, and I like her, but, you know, most billionaires would be on their fourth wife right now. He's still with his first wife, which I respect.
Yeah. You think billionaires are all allowed to just do what they want? Or
I think so. I think
into
that,
a room?
I think that you can be a millionaire or multimillionaire and still have a soul. I don't think you can become a billionaire. And this is not anti-capitalism. It's anti-corporatism. I don't think you can become a billionaire in the world as it is now without, A, deeply embedding in the government of some governments in some way, and, B, just destroying some lives. I really think so. You know, I mean, Apple is considered this fluffy, wonderful place, but, you know, they got their stuff done with allegedly knowing, you know, running sweatshops where people were killing themselves because they were basically slave labor who, you know, couldn't leave and were treated horribly in China. Yeah.
Well, some companies want to be like Apple. MasterCard's one of them, you know.
Ah, good segue. We didn't finish. No, I had a segue, though, yeah. For Branson. So Branson put out his first record that Virgin Records put out that built the beginning of his fortune was Tubular Bells by Michael Oldfield, which was used as the soundtrack, theme music, the beginning of it in The Exorcist. And it's an amazing record. It's the second record ever made by someone playing all the instruments themselves. The first was Switched on Bach by Carlos/Windy Williams, which is the synthesizer record that made everyone want a Moog synthesizer. The other thing about The Exorcist that's kind of cool that I remember is that when I lived in Washington, D.C. in the early 80s, there was this band called 9353, and every Halloween, about a week before Halloween, they'd go to those steps in Georgetown where the old priest gets murdered and thrown out the window by the little possessed girl in that movie. And they would paint body outlines falling down the stairs. And they'd stay there, like, you know, through Halloween. I thought that was great. That was some cool street art, man. Don't try this at home.
Do not try to be the stuntman that played the priest.
Man,
they know how to fall downstairs. They know how to fall down a stone stairs.
Turn all your buffers all the way up. Let's see what happens.
Buffers.
It's that island internet, man. You're going through a tube in the ocean. I think there's water in there. I think a shark chewed on it. What do you think? Yeah.
Buffers are going up. How's that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it better?
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay.
I mean, you know, with the buffers all the way up, there's going to be like a delay. Like, you're going to have to be like over when you're done, but that's preferable to what I'm hearing on this end and what listeners are probably hearing.
I'm going up. I mean, my input buffer is now 85
you're good now.
Milliseconds.
You're good. You're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But that record made me want it. The record made me want to play all the instruments. Now I can do that because technology's caught up.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
About a warning. You're about to share with my friend Michael W. Dean, a survivor, things about humanity and his methods for dealing with it. Brace yourself for some bare naked honesty. If you're willing to hear what Michael is saying, there are times when you'll laugh and times when you'll want to cry in the retelling of his truths. He has defined it so you can feel it. Take his example and live. I warned you earlier because this book is written in the same way Michael speaks. He's a straight shooter, a no pretense, a no excuses kind of guy that I love like a brother. Understanding how we are to deal with negative people, Michael has answers for you. The human race has its aberrations and monsters, and unfortunately, sometimes they are close to you. Michael gives you his take on them and how he handles the noise. I can guarantee you will pick up a tool to use from a user's manual for the human experience. As Michael says, his life is a teaching hospital.
A user's manual for the human experience. Kindle, paperback, and audiobook. Get it now on Amazon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're better. Yep. Yeah. Freedom Fiend, struggling with low-budget radio. Yeah. I mean, the thing people don't understand is we're doing this show from our homes. We're not in a studio somewhere. We can't afford that because this is basically a public service. And, you know, I'm not one of these people that... Actually, you know, Virgil Viduva did a post recently complaining about people who, you know, libertarians that don't have jobs and do some media and then cyberbag and how he doesn't respect him. And I said, do you not respect me? And he's like, do you realize, Michael, how much I'm not talking about you in that post and how much you do that's great? And I'm like, yeah. But, you know, I don't have a problem with people asking for donations, but a really common thing in Liberty is people just basically paraphrasing Mises, doing a show or doing podcast or videos or writing a book, literally paraphrasing everything Mises said, doing libertarianism 101, like, you know, saying things like, well, basically, all taxation is theft and all laws are enforced by the barrel of a gun, because most people say, well, no, I've never had a gun pointed at me, but think about this. If you're pulled over by the police for speeding or having a taillight out or not having your license mounted properly or any number of reasons, and you say, you know, they say, get out of the car, and you say, no.
I don't want to listen to that show.
Yeah, like that's all true, and it does escalate to the cop killing you if you don't comply. But it's just paraphrasing Lysander Spooner. But everybody does that and like says it as if they made it up and says it in their own words. And it's boring. There's 50 books out like that now.
And how many podcasts? Really,
hundreds. And I've helped most of them make their audio better. And they never have donated to me to thank me. So F them all. But I take a lot of time out of my day to help people out. And I basically all the money on the Freedom Fiends, I lose money on this at this point. I used to make money on it. We've got about as many listeners as we do now, but I think our listeners have gotten poorer over time. It's kind of weird. And also, people don't bother to help with things. And I'm not going to guilt people. That's another thing. I really hate when people guilt people, like, if you listen to two more seconds, you're stealing if you don't donate. Or even worse than that, if they say that combined with basically implying that if you don't help them in particular, liberty will die. Like, Molyneux does that. Kokesh does that. It's a lie, man. Liberty is in the air, man. And you don't need those people to do it. And if everyone stopped making libertarian media right now, there's enough out there to last you the rest of your life. And you could just go to Mises or old Freedom Fiends back when we actually talked about liberty, or any number of sources other than Molyneux, which you shouldn't go anywhere near, and find liberty, man. You don't need that person. It's the great man theory is what it is. It's the, you know, this is the most important election of our lifetime. I've heard that every election my whole life.
That's none of them are such important. A story. I'm done with that story.
I know.
Moving on to other things, you know.
I know. The last thing I did in politics that made a difference, no. Yeah, it made something happen was when I was 12, I wrote Gerald Ford and told him to legalize marijuana, President Ford. And I got back
when
a
you
form
were
12? Letter. Yes, and I got back a form letter saying, "We're very concerned to hear from all of the citizens with your." Literally, it was like, it was printed, and then it said like, "With your feelings about," and then there's a blank where someone typed in like before you could paginate it with a computer, like they typed in on this page, marijuana decriminalization. And it's like a really long line so they can fit a bunch of stuff, but it just said that marijuana decriminalization, which is kind of long anyway. But what it probably did was it probably got me on a list at age 12, I would imagine.
Wow. Yeah. They've just been following you ever since. It's just been eyes wide shut the whole time, huh?
Yeah, but you know, they've been doing a good job at it because they don't make themselves known, which really, you know, you don't want to knock on the guy's door and ask him a bunch of questions. Then he's on to you. You want to just have plausible deniability and then, you know, gaslight him by rearranging his internet icons when he sleeps like they do to me.
See, I think I'm immune to gaslighting. And I don't want to bury that lead. Do I have to explain what gaslighting is?
Gaslighting is based on a movie called The Gaslight. It's some noir movie from the 50s where a husband is trying to drive his wife insane by doing things like moving the furniture when she's out shopping and denying it and just doing all sorts of things and denying it to make her think she's losing her mind. And that's something that, you know, the CIA does, and, you know, bad spouses do subtly or not subtly or, you know, intentionally or subconsciously, and it's pretty evil, basically trying to make someone crazy.
Yeah. I think I'm gaslight proof. I think it's just not going to happen.
I can't be hypnotized. Is it like that? I'm incapable.
Yeah, it is like that. It's like I'm going to say, in most cases, I'll see that people are just upset and they are trying to pull me into their drama. That's not gaslighting. It would be an unusual case, and this I think I'm ready for this one, if I can see that they're literally trying to unnerve me. That's like, that's a new one. It's like, huh.
Yeah. Well, the really sinister thing would be someone who outwardly is doing nothing but being nice to you. There's a movie I really like. It's called Antitrust. It's a, you know, early internet hacker movie after Hackers. And there's a character played by Tim Robbins who's basically like Bill Gates, who also murders people, has them killed by his programmers if he wants to steal their product instead of just stealing it or buying them out or forcing them out with scary overt, you know, capitalism on steroids stuff. But there's a character in there who, it turns out, his, you know, it's a young man who's got his whole life ahead of him, a great job at this Microsoft-like company, and, you know, a young wife who he loves, who he's been married to for 2 or 3 years, and she's beautiful and great, and she's an artist and witty and passionate, and it turns out, like, she was hired by this company to woo him and marry him. And they pressured her because, like, she'd been arrested for narcotics, and they worked a deal with the police of, like, okay, you do this for us, and we'll, you know, you won't go to prison for 20 years. It's really creepy and sinister. Yeah.
And what's it called?
Antitrust. Great movie.
Antitrust.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good popcorn flick, man.
For those who are tuning in just to the show for movie recommendations, I'm just going to say, to go back over the recap of what we've done so far, Eyes Wide Shut, just saying.
Adam 12.
Yeah, hippies episodes of Adam 12.
Hippies of Dynamite, yeah.
And, of course, House of Cards, you know.
Yeah, Kevin series. Spacey, great. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, the British one's great. House of Cards was kind of jumping the shark anyway, but I can't wait to watch the sixth season. And I think it's really cheap that after all this, you know, possibly real, possibly fake allegations came out today, Netflix, a couple hours later, released a press release of, by the way, no mention to Kevin Spacey, just, by the way, this upcoming season that we've already filmed and edited is going to be the last season. Thanks, Netflix. If they decide to not put it out because of some PC pressure from, you know, hysterical women, and hysterical means woman, you know that, right? Hysterical is the same root as hysterectomy. You, the audience, I know you'd know that because you're a healer who deals with hysterical women, probably. I don't know. I have no idea.
I thought because it was a medical term and you had to know, like, the Latin, Greek roots.
It is actually a medical term. Hysteria, you know, that was a medical condition in the year 1900 when that great movie, The Nick, that show, The Nick, was made. You watching The Nick?
No, should. But I do go into ancient, obsolete medical terms like drapetomania. You know that one?
Is that addiction to being intoxicated by anything?
It's the irrational... fear of being confined. Basically, that slaves were infected with trypanosomia, and they had this irrational desire to run away and free themselves.
Yeah. I used to have an encyclopedia, one volume encyclopedia my dad had from like 1901, and the entry for Negro said that they were a people from Africa who were by nature insolent and indolent. And I really liked those two words together. I use them on other people who are not necessarily Negroes. Insolent, meaning uppity, meaning don't want to be told what to do, like libertarians or slaves. And indolent means lazy. So, you know, like Mexicans, they're both stealing your job and lazy and don't work, as Lou says.
Schrodinger's laziness.
Yeah. Schrodinger's immigrant. Yeah. I like
both
that.
Both lazy and unlazy.
Yeah. That's funny. So, Kevin Spacey, God bless him. Yeah. I do not like sexual abuse or pressure or coercion, but I really don't like the, like, all of a sudden, every woman in Hollywood ruining great men's lives because, you know, I think half of them were made up, you know? Although...
Yeah. I mean, Gary Shandling? I actually know someone that he hit on, you know, when he was over here on this island.
I know someone that was on a plane, on a commercial jet with Bill Clinton about a year after he was done being president. And she was a tall, leggy blonde, and he was in first class. And he saw her and walked back and talked to her and invited her to come sit in first class and talk with her and hit on her. And she was an uber feminist who would, like, slap most men who did that. But she said he was so charming and just oozed ease and calm that she just was captivated and talked to him. And he was holding an unlit cigar in his hand the whole time and, like, twiddling it, you know.
Wow, very MK Ultra.
Yeah, very MK Lord's Ultra, and said, like, yeah, I can't do his accent, but just be Kevin Spacey in House of Cards. But, you know, he said that, well, you know, I used to have my own jet a few years ago, and they'd let me smoke on it, but now I can't. Basically, the bottom line is powerful people who are gatekeepers for everything will always abuse the power. Or not all of them, but a lot of them will. And I mean, think about it. Like, if you were a movie, think about a movie director who has thousands of beautiful women saying, please pick me and make my life wonderful. You know, think about how that would go to your head. And also think about the kind of person that tries to get that kind of job. I don't think it's good, but I'm not surprised, I guess is what I'm saying. I'm not shocked at all.
You know, it's good to look at behind the scenes, like the weird scenes in the canyon with David McGowan book.
Get that book. And the real answer here is to decentralize everything. And that's going to be the last 5 minutes. We're going to talk about Fedcoin really fast.
Worms.
Got your notes for Fedcoin?
Got my notes.
We have to continue that one, but we'll start it.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agoristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agorist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Yep. Oh, I'm going to call this episode Happy Halloween. And I'm going to use my cultural appropriation thing. So we're talking about FedCoin. You got something to say? Go ahead. Sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, no, that was it. I just like when saying, welcome.
When we increase the buffers, we'll end up stepping on each other more because, you know, there's a longer gap, but it makes it more solid. So the Freedom Fiends going across the transatlantic pipeline to Hawaii. FedCoin is a joke. I swear I made up this term. I don't know that I did, but Nima Vedati and I used the word FedCoin as a joke 4 or 5 years ago, talking about how one day the government will probably make something like Bitcoin and make us use it. Well, first of all, MasterCoin just came out with a private blockchain that they're going to use. And this is after last week their CEO said Bitcoin is useless and will crash because there's no government regulation, which is actually the fact that there is government regulation is why MasterCard will crash before Bitcoin. And the old CEO of MasterCard 3 years ago did a video that we reviewed on this show where he looked like he was bashing Bitcoin and like every trope, every wrong cliche about it you can imagine, every made up BS that people believe about it. And he was like just talking to a, you know, it looked like a home video. And he was in a really echoey room, not mic'd well. It looked really amateur. It looked hastily put together, and like he looked worried, and he looked like he might have been on cocaine, allegedly, not a guarantee. That's an opinion, not a fact. He's really skinny, but he's really sweaty. A lot of times fat guys sweat. I sweat. I'm kind of fat. But he was really skinny, and he was really sweaty, and his pupils were huge under really bright lights.
Unshaven.
Unshaven and in like a, you know, $4,000 suit, but kind of looked like a homeless guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so. No, it's been a long night of this is what's going on. The bankers
are sweating. They're like sitting around the table, like smoking cigars, like writing this video. You're like, okay, what do we got to say? Let's see. Hey, people can use it for drugs. It's not backed by anything. Yeah. Like MasterCard is.
People's fourth houses are on the line here. My God, Michael.
MasterCard, the name says it all. They want to master you. They want to be your master.
Master race.
The master race card. Oh, that's a that's a meme waiting to happen. Man,
so
you are
here's the so redemption.
You are so un-PC. I like it.
Oh, thanks, man. I really
should point out that you're Jewish. You can make the master race jokes.
I should point out that just because my mom had a bat mitzvah.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Doesn't really. Judaism is a religion.
My great, 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 great grandmother was black. So,
all right, cool.
South Park says I'm a racist for saying that. Makes it okay to do anything. All right, so go ahead.
You got the redemption here with this?
You got the redemption.
How are we going to?
Don't use private blockchains. It's a scam. Oh, the government. Doug Casey, a libertarian economist, says that. Said recently that they're going to, he believes the government is going to come up with a Fed coin and make people use it. Like, you're going to wake up one day, like, okay, trade your dollars in. Here's your Fed coin. Take out your phone, you know, and it's not going to be an any kind of anonymity, not even pseudo anonymity. And then they can inflate it easier whenever they want. You know, people say, well, they have to print money. You know, Venezuela is so broke from socialism, they can't afford to literally print more money. But with a blockchain-based money, you could just type in another zero and print more money. Yeah.
And that's it.
Don't do it. Use decentralized solutions. Use Bitcoin. Use Monero, which is actually anonymous. Use don't use Ripple. That's a Fed coin. Although someone I know.
Well, you can invest in Ripple.
You
understand.
Right.
Caveat emptor. That means
don't
buyer beware.
Don't like it. Yeah, I like that you do that every time we do any non-investment, non-advice, but use Cell 411. That will liberate you more than using FedCoin or MasterCard.
Oh, this has been sweet to do a show with you, Michael. I feel all fuzzy now.
I could do another 6 hours. Let's just stay on and podcast. No, I'm losing my voice. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Yep. It's been good, man. I feel better than when I started, which is how I like to have our audience. A lot of shows, you feel scared after listening. You feel scared and you want to buy water filters. But with the Freedom Fiends, you feel good and you want to go get free cell 411.
And for all the LRN listeners out there, just get ready for winter. It's getting cold. You guys over in the Northeast, I'm just saying, man, get ready.
Hey, it's already snowed twice in Wyoming. But yeah.
I'll tell you someday. I'll tell you when I can see snow on this mountain here.
Snowing lava, ash on your mountain.
There's coming up soon.
Worms.
Really, man.